All right, so today we're taking a deep dive into fusion energy, that clean energy source everyone's been talking about.
It's definitely been generating some buzz lately.
Yeah, and we've got these reports from the Fusion Industry Association covering 2021 to 2024 that give a really interesting snapshot of where things are at.
It's a fascinating time for fusion, for sure. There's a real sense of urgency now, with climate change concerns growing and the need for clean energy solutions becoming, well, really obvious.
It feels like the whole world's kind of woken up to the potential of fusion, right?
Definitely.
And these reports really highlight that, especially when you see the numbers.
Absolutely. The industry's come a long way, even in just these past few years.
Speaking of numbers, can we just talk about this funding explosion? In 2021, it was at $1.9 billion. By 2024, it hit $7.1 billion.
Yeah, it's incredible. Not just an increase, that's like everyone jumping in head first. 2022 was a particularly wild year. The industry's total investment more than doubled. We're talking Commonwealth Fusion Systems raking in $1.8 billion, Helion Energy securing half a billion.
It's mind-boggling.
It really is. And there are a bunch of other companies pulling in over 100 million each. There's a lot of confidence building, a real sense that fusion is transitioning from scientific research to something much more tangible.
It's not just about proving it's possible anymore, it's about making it a reality. So, with all this funding pouring in, are we going to see those pilot fusion power plants popping up anytime soon? That's what I really want to know.
It's definitely a possibility. This funding is allowing companies to move beyond those theoretical models and start building proof of concept devices. It really could be fusion's Kitty Hawk moment.
Okay, now that image just gave me chills. Pilot fusion power plants, that's huge. And it seems like it's a global race, too. The US is leading the charge, according to the 2024 report, with 25 fusion companies.
Yeah, they've got a lot of activity going on.
But it's not just them. The reports mention the UK, Canada, Australia, China, Japan.
It really does have that global pursuit feel to it, which is essential, in my opinion. Fusion research and development is such a massive endeavor, it needs that international collaboration to really thrive.
Makes sense. Two heads are better than one, right? Or in this case, maybe like 10 countries worth of heads. But it's interesting, even with this global effort, a lot of the supply chains are staying local. The report mentioned that in 2023, something like 61% of supplies came from domestic sources.
That's a really positive sign, in my opinion. It suggests that fusion energy could bring significant economic benefits on a local level, creating jobs, boosting industries.
Yeah, keeping it homegrown.
Exactly, and potentially making those supply chains a bit more resilient in the process.
Okay, so we've got all these different approaches being thrown at making fusion a reality, but how do we actually measure progress? The reports kept mentioning this high Q thing. Is that like a fusion grade or something?
It's kind of like a measure of efficiency. In simple terms, Q stands for energy gain, and it tells us how much energy we're getting out of a fusion reaction compared to how much we're putting in to make it happen.
So a higher Q means a more efficient reaction.
Exactly. It's like a campfire. You need to keep adding wood and blowing on the embers to get it going initially, but eventually it starts producing enough heat to sustain itself, right?
Right. Yeah, it's burning on its own.
Right. And high Q for fusion is like reaching that point where the reaction generates more energy than we're pumping in. That's the Holy Grail. Because that's when fusion becomes a viable energy source, not just a cool science experiment.
It's like hitting that tipping point where it goes from neat trick to we could power cities with this.
Precisely. Achieving high Q is a major milestone, and these reports suggest we're getting closer.
That's really exciting. But even if we figure out the right approach and hit that high Q, actually building these fusion reactors, it sounds, well, kind of intense. Like, what kind of materials can handle that kind of heat and pressure? We're talking about the inside of a star here.
You're not wrong. It's a huge engineering challenge. Imagine temperatures hotter than the sun's surface. Yeah, and those high-energy neutrons zipping around. We need materials that can withstand these extreme conditions, materials that won't melt, crumble, or become radioactive themselves.
No, stronger than steel, then.
Way stronger. And that's where material science comes in. These reports highlight some incredible advances in this field. We're talking about new alloys, ceramics, composites, all designed to withstand the incredible forces at play within a fusion reactor.
It's like they're searching for fusion's own Captain America's shield.
It's a pretty apt comparison, actually. And these materials advancements aren't just about the reactor itself, they're also crucial for things like tritium breeding.
Right, tritium breeding. We talked about needing deuterium and tritium as fuel for fusion. But what is tritium breeding exactly, and why is it such a big deal?
So, tritium is a bit of a problem child. It's one of the key ingredients for fusion, but it's incredibly rare in nature. That's where breeding comes in. Imagine if we could make tritium inside the reactor itself.
Like it generates its own fuel?
Exactly. That's the idea behind tritium breeding. We use those high-energy neutrons that are released during fusion to convert lithium, a relatively common element, into tritium. It's like having a self-sustaining fuel cycle.
That's amazing. It's like a fusion reactor with its own little fuel factory built in.
Exactly. It's vital for making fusion power truly sustainable and breaking our reliance on rare materials.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But I have to ask, even with these advancements, I think there's still some fear around fusion, right? People hear fusion and think nuclear, and suddenly it's mushroom clouds and disaster movies. How do we address those safety concerns?
I think transparency and education are key here. It's understandable that people might be wary. Fusion often gets lumped in with nuclear fission, which is what powers traditional nuclear plants, but they are fundamentally different.
Different how?
For one, fusion isn't a chain reaction. With fission, you have this potential runaway effect. That's what happened at Chernobyl, right? With fusion, if something goes wrong, the reaction just stops.
It's like flipping a switch, off it goes.
Exactly. No meltdowns, no uncontrollable chain reactions. And because fusion doesn't require those massive amounts of radioactive material like fission does, there's significantly less risk of widespread contamination, and the waste is much less of a concern.
So inherently safer and less radioactive waste. Got it. That's huge. But let's talk big picture for a second. Fusion energy has the potential to be a game changer in the fight against climate change, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that fusion doesn't directly produce any greenhouse gases during operation, that right there makes it a critical player in achieving those net zero emissions goals everyone's talking about.
Okay, that's amazing. But what about the environmental impact of actually building these reactors? They sound incredibly complex, and that's got to have some impact, right?
You are right. The reports do acknowledge that just like with any large-scale infrastructure project, building and eventually decommissioning a fusion reactor will have some environmental impact.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's crucial to look at the bigger picture. Those impacts are significantly smaller than what we see with fossil fuel plants, especially when you factor in the long-term benefits of clean energy.
So it's about weighing those short-term impacts against the long-term gain for the planet.
Exactly. And those long-term gains go way beyond just cutting carbon emissions. Imagine using the heat from a fusion reactor for things like desalination.
Wait, turning salt water into drinking water?
Exactly. We could provide clean drinking water to regions facing scarcity, and that's just one application.
Wow, that's amazing. Clean energy, A&D, clean water, sign me up.
It doesn't stop there. Fusion could revolutionize industries like transportation and manufacturing by enabling the large-scale production of green hydrogen, which is a clean and versatile fuel source. The possibilities are pretty exciting.
Okay, I'm convinced this all sounds amazing, but I gotta ask, when are we talking here? Is this like a sci-fi future that's decades away?
The reports seem pretty optimistic. Many companies are targeting those grid-ready fusion power plants by the late 2030s, some even earlier.
Wow, that's sooner than I expected. But we've talked about some hurdles. What needs to happen to make those ambitious targets a reality?
One of the big ones is scaling up. Right now, we can build components for those experimental reactors. But to power entire cities, we need a completely different ballgame. We need a robust and responsive supply chain.
So it's not just about building bigger reactors. It's about building a bigger system to support them.
Exactly. The reports point out potential bottlenecks, particularly for specialized components like cryogenic devices.
Cryo what now?
Cryogenic devices. These are systems that operate at extremely low temperatures, essential for things like superconductivity, which is a key part of many fusion designs. And then there are things like high-temperature superconducting wires, power electronics, all these components that aren't exactly mass-produced right now.
So you need a whole new industry to support this fusion energy revolution.
In a way, yes. Closer collaboration between fusion companies and their suppliers, exploring new financing models, even standardizing certain parts to streamline production. There's a lot to figure out.
It's like building a car. You can't just focus on the engine. You need the whole assembly line to make it work. So we've got the tech, we've got the potential, but what about the people? Building a fusion-powered future is going to take a lot of brain power, right?
Absolutely. And that's where building a strong and diverse fusion workforce is critical.
So we're not just talking about nuclear physicists huddled over equations.
Nope. We need engineers, technicians, data scientists, you name it. This industry needs people from all sorts of backgrounds and disciplines.
That's actually really cool. What about AI? Is there a role for artificial intelligence in all of this?
Huge role. It's already happening. Fusion experiments generate tons of data, and AI can help make sense of it all, optimizing performance, identifying potential issues before they happen.
So it's like having a super-powered assistant helping to fine-tune these fusion reactors.
That's a great way to put it. It's really amazing to see the role AI is starting to play.
So it really does sound like there's a place for everyone in this fusion revolution. But what about governments? Are they providing support? Because let's be real, something this big needs some serious backing.
You're telling me. And that's actually a really interesting aspect highlighted in these reports.
So governments and fusion, big topic. Are we seeing them stepping up to the plate, putting their money where their, well, energy future might be?
You hit the nail on the head. This does take serious investment. And the good news is, governments around the world are starting to see fusion as more than just a science project. It's becoming a key part of their energy strategy.
Okay, so less pie in the sky and more, we can actually power our country with this kind of thinking.
Exactly. And one of the most promising trends is this rise in public-private partnerships.
Right, because those are popping up everywhere these days. So it's like governments and private companies teaming up, combining resources and expertise.
Exactly. Think of it like governments bring long-term vision and, let's be honest, deep pockets.
Yeah, they can handle a big budget.
Exactly. While those private companies bring that agility, that drive to innovate, that maybe a government bureaucracy isn't quite equipped for.
They can move a bit faster, take some risks. So a good match then. But where are we seeing this in action? Are there any specific programs these reports highlighted?
Oh yeah, a bunch. In the U.S., there's the Milestone-Based Fusion Development Program. It's designed to accelerate progress towards commercial fusion energy.
So it's like a launch pad for fusion startups.
Exactly. It provides funding, helps them navigate those regulatory hurdles, really just gives them the support they need to get off the ground. And we're seeing similar programs emerging in other countries too. The UK, Germany, Japan, even at the EU level.
Wow, so this is a global trend then.
Absolutely. Governments are realizing that fusion isn't just a scientific endeavor anymore. It's an economic opportunity, and they want to be a part of it.
Makes sense. But it's not just about throwing money at the problem, right? It's got to be strategic.
You're absolutely right. The reports really emphasize that. It's about creating the right environment for fusion to flourish. And that means smart policies, the kind that incentivize innovation, streamline regulations, because it's one thing to build a fusion reactor, but then you need to actually get that energy onto the grid.
Right. Navigate all the legal stuff, make it commercially viable.
Exactly. These reports stress that along with the technology, we need that policy framework to support it.
It's like building a house. You need the foundation as much as you need the walls and the roof. Otherwise, the whole thing collapses.
Perfect analogy. And another key aspect is international collaboration. Fusion research shouldn't be limited by borders. We need to share knowledge, pool resources, work together to find solutions.
Because the sooner we figure out fusion, the sooner everyone benefits.
All right. Exactly. Climate change is a global challenge that demands global solutions. Fusion has the potential to be one of those solutions, but only if we work together.
Collaboration over competition.
Exactly. And that's a message these reports really drive home. This is about more than just building a fusion reactor. It's about building a fusion-powered future. And that takes a global effort from scientists and engineers to policymakers and, well, everyday citizens.
Because ultimately, it's the public that needs to be on board, right?
Absolutely. We can't talk about fusion's potential without addressing public perception. There's still a lot of misunderstanding out there, some fear.
I mean, fusion, nuclear, it's easy to see how people could confuse the two or have some reservations.
Exactly. That's why public education is so vital. These reports really stress that. It's about having open and honest conversations about fusion, explaining the science in a way that everyone can understand, addressing those concerns, and, really importantly, highlighting the potential benefits. Because fusion isn't some scary science fiction concept anymore, it has the potential to provide clean, safe, sustainable energy for everyone.
It's about painting a picture of the future we could have, a future powered by fusion. And I think that's a message that can resonate with people, that idea of a cleaner, healthier planet.
Exactly. And it seems like the fusion industry is realizing that too. There's a real push towards greater transparency, more public engagement.
Like opening the doors to those research facilities, letting people see what's going on.
Exactly. Letting people ask questions, meet the scientists, really get a feel for the work that's being done.
It's about building trust, right? showing people that this isn't some secretive, dangerous experiment. It's about building a better future for everyone.
Precisely. And I think that's a really powerful message.
So where does that leave us? After this deep dive into fusion energy, what's the takeaway?
I think the big one is that fusion is no longer a distant dream. It's within reach, and it has the potential to fundamentally change the world. But getting there will require a global effort, a willingness to invest, innovate, and work together to overcome the challenges.
And to be open to this new world of possibilities, because who knows, maybe in a few decades, we won't even be talking about fossil fuels versus renewables. Maybe we'll be talking about how we powered the world with fusion energy.
It's an exciting thought.
It really is. Well, on that note of hope and excitement, we wrap up our deep dive into the world of fusion energy. It's a complex, challenging, but ultimately incredibly promising field. And we hope this deep dive has given you a glimpse into the amazing work being done to make fusion power a reality.
It's a journey worth taking, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive.